IRB World Service, and I have been connected to your English station for some time. I have to say that this station is the only one that is different from the other mainstream media broadcasting news, and I am congratulating you for your good work, mostly for broadcasting the right issues as the world arrogantly ignores justice nowadays. So, I ask you to redouble your efforts so that the whole world can learn from you and tune into you, radio, IRIB English Radio. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, and please accept our appreciations and warm gratitudes to you for sending us such a nice email, and thank you very much for telling us your views about the quality of IRIB English Radio broadcasts and programs, and we are so happy that you enjoy our programs, as you said. IRIB English Radio is the only station that is different from other mainstream media broadcasting news that broadcasts the right issues that, of course, the Western media ignores. So it's great that you're following the world developments through IRIB English Radio News, and it shows your support and commitment. And as you know, our effort at IRB English Radio is to broadcast the non-partial, unbiased, and correct news happening around the world. Thank you very much. Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. And from China, we have an email from Ding Lu. So let's see what Ding Lu from China says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I'm very happy to receive the latest electronic QSL card you sent me. It's nice. I like it very much. Here, I would like to ask, can you mail me a printed version of the QSL card too? I want to collect them. I would be glad to get it. Thank you and best wishes. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ding Lu from China. And many thanks for sending us this email. So, you've recently received the IRIB English Radio electronic QSL card, and that's great. But as for your request about sending you a printed QSL card or a paper QSL card, I'm afraid it's not possible because we are in the time of pandemic. It's the pandemic is around the world, and of course this pandemic is controlled in Iran, and we have very few cases of the pandemic in Iran, but anyway, because of the international laws and regulations regarding mailing and posting, sending any material to our listeners is not possible because we have a still pandemic around the world. So sending any promotional item, material, or souvenir is not possible. So maybe after the pandemic, we can send our great listeners those souvenirs of IRIB English Radio like before the pandemic. We traditionally used to send our listeners these items. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card, Ding Lu from China. Again, many thanks for sending us this email. After a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Dario Gabrielli from Italy has sent us an email. Dario says, "Dear friends, my name is Dario and I am 54 years old. I live in northern Italy in a village called Dolo, which has about 14,000 inhabitants, located near Padua and Venice. I have newly started listening to your programs in English in shortwave because I don't like to listen to broadcast via PC or satellite. I like to listen to radio stations from all over the world only in shortwave with a receiver. I hereby wish to inform you that in recent weeks, I have sent through your website Pars Today 2 reception reports, and I hope you receive them. Hoping for your news, I greet all the editorial staff and remember of your service. Salam, ciao, Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and thank you very much for sending us such a nice email. So you are 54 years old and you live in northern Italy in a village called Dolo. It's great. I've never heard that name before, but thank you very much for sharing your experience and telling your information about the place you live in Dolo, which has about 14,000 inhabitants, and it is located near Venice. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region, in your village, Dolo. That's great. So, you, like many other radio listeners, and like me and my colleagues, you like listening to shortwave radio, the traditional kind of radio. That's great. This is something that most people like, listening to shortwave radio rather than listening to radio through satellite or internet or online. And that's great. You've been listening to IRIB English radio programs for some time. So in your upcoming emails, Dario Gabrielli, tell us which program or programs you like the best. This helps us to boost the quality of our programs. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. And please accept our EQSL cards, which will be sent to you very soon. And from Austria, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Harald Seuss. Harald Seuss from Austria says, "Dear staff of English Department of IRIB World Service, thank you very much for the nice EQSL you have sent me today. Best wishes to you and your staff. Your listener, Harald Seuss." Salam and warm greetings to you, Harald Seuss from Austria. So, you are one of our listeners who has received electronic QSL card. Thank you for letting us know about that. Write to us soon, Harald Seuss from Austria. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Akbar Haydar Kairan from the US. Akbar Haydar says, "Dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum. Please find my reception report below from New York, USA. I had a chance to listen to a piece of Islamic music and also my very favorite program, Listeners Special, in which you read listeners' letters, mails, etc. Kindly send me new program schedule and frequency schedule and printed QSL or EQSL card. Thank you." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Akbar Haydar Kairan from the US. We are so happy that you listen to our programs. So, you listen to a piece of Islamic music and also your favorite program, Listeners Special. Thank you for your support and commitment. You know, regarding your request for sending you program schedule and frequency schedule, unfortunately, it's not possible in the time of pandemic. Maybe after the pandemic, is controlled around the world, we can send you the printed QSL card and the program schedule and frequency schedule. But for the time being, you can, you can find our programs schedule and frequency schedule at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Yes, www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find our programs schedule and frequency schedule. And my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card. Akbar Haydar Kyron from the US, thank you again for sending us this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And time tells me that we have to skip to one of the exciting part of our program, which is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy this interview.
Thank you for having me on the program. Yes, I try to tune into IRIB English program as often as possible. On different technical media like satellite, shortwave, but also I listen to IRIB English on the internet. And I think IRIB English is doing a fantastic job because it's really hard to find news about Iran in the West, which is correct. I mean, Iran is a lot in the news in the West, in the Western media, but unfortunately, it's always a very colored view, a very one-sided view. And IRIB is proposing the news like it is the truth about Iran. I mean, IRIB is giving the Iranian point of view, and it gives a total other perception about the news than what you hear here in Western media, which is always about, I'll give you one example about the nuclear file. As a matter of fact, the nuclear file in Iran is going about civilian nuclear energy, peaceful nuclear energy. And here in the West, they always bring the nuclear file of Iran as, you know, nuclear weapons, about aggressive policies, which is not at all true. So I listen to IRIB English to hear the truth about Iran. Yes, I call upon all listeners of IRIB English, please do like, as I did, visit Iran. Because if you want to know Iran, of course you can tune into IRIB English, but also it's really important that you visit the country yourself to experience the friendliness of the people, the beauty of the country, the rich culture and the rich history of Iran. So please visit Iran. It's very easy to visit. I mean, the infrastructure is good, the roads, the public transport, the hotel infrastructure. So it's really easy to visit the country and to have a look yourself.
Welcome back. So before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I send my appreciations to those of our great listeners who sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Ding Lu from China, Harold Seuss from Austria, Najmuddin from India, Akbar Haydar Kyron from the US, Juan Coba from Spain, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. We wish you all the best. Many thanks for being with your program, Listeners Special, and of course, IRIB English Radio. Write to your radio, IRIB English Radio, and Listeners Special. Have a good time. And goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with Arabi English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. No third path besides these two paths, the path of Satan and the path of Allah. Either the path of tyrant or oppressors or the path of Allah. You people, O teachers and students, adopt this path which the prophets and saints or awliya established before you. We should travel upon this path and move forward. Those people who move away from this path, this divine path, and invite toward other path or satanic are Satans, against their nature and against that path toward which their nature is attentive or thoughtful.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Islam and our deeds. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that he who is doing his duty to please the Lord, God-willing, should not expect the affirmation of everyone. Nothing has the confirmation of all. In one of his other speeches, he says that he who follows the truth and works to please God should not mind what others say or have said of him. Now, this is important that when we are doing something, when we are performing some actions, it should be for God only. It should be for the sake of God and not for the sake of people. And if we are performing something, we should not expect people confirming us. Rather, it should be the God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will confirm our actions, who will confirm our deeds. Therefore, it is necessary to perform things for the sake of God and for the God. And if we are doing it for the willing of God, for the happiness of God, then obviously we are performing our real duty. And if we are not performing our real duty, then obviously there will be an issue that we will expecting people to confirm what we are doing and what we are not doing.
Allah
to pay attention to what we are doing, and it should be for the sake of God, because it is God who will give us reward. It is God who will punish people, and it is God who will give us the reward of what we have done in this world. Many people, unfortunately, when they perform something, they look here and there, and they expect people to praise them, for example. And this praising is not good, because this praise of people is the praise of people. And the best thing, the best action is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praise us, when the awliyaullah praise us, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms our actions. Therefore, in this part of his speech, Imam Khomeini says that if you're performing something, do it for the sake of God. Do it for God, so that tomorrow when we go and meet God, we will see him in a happy way. We will see him confirming our actions. And if we are doing this for the God, then obviously our actions will in line with the teachings of Islam. It will be in line with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will not do things for the happiness of the people. Rather, we do this for the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds. that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما
And the servants of the Most Merciful are those who walk upon the earth easily. And when the ignorant address them harshly, they say words of peace.
والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما
And those who spend part of the night to their Lord, prostrating and standing in prayer.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing these two verses of the chapter. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا And the servants of the beneficent are those who walk on the earth humbly, and when the ignorant address them, they answer, Peace. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا They are the ones who spend the night prostrating themselves before their Lord and standing. We concluded in the previous episode that from this holy verse on, we are going to have a complete and comprehensive discussion about the attributes of Almighty Allah's special servants and slaves under the title of Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah, the servants of the Beneficent. Now, who are these servants of the Beneficent? There are about 10 attributes mentioned for them in these verses from now on. And the first one was that the servants of Allah are those who walk on the earth humbly. Verily, if man knows himself and the universe minimally, he knows how small he is comparing with his great universe. Even if his neck gets as long as mountains, the highest mountains are less than the peel swell of sour orange in regard to the hugeness of the earth, which is itself just a tiny particle in these great galaxies. That is why the Holy Quran says, and we said in the previous episode, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا And do not walk around exultantly on the earth. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ Certainly you will never rend the earth. وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا You cannot reach the mountains in height. After all, pride and conceit are the reasons of absolute ignorance and lack of knowledge.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine.
In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
It is narrated that one day the Prophet ﷺ was passing through a lane where he saw some of the people had gathered in a place. He asked them its reason. They said that a mad person was doing some mocking actions and people were therefore attracted by him. The Prophet ﷺ called them and told them, "Do you want me to introduce you the real madman?" All the people were silent. They were all ears. They were listening to him carefully. And then he said, "A person who walks conceitedly and he continually looks around himself. He moves his slides along with his shoulder and he sees no one but himself and thinks about no one save himself. A person whom people expect no goodness, and a person from whose mischief people are not safe. This is the real madman. The person whom you saw is a patient." I assume we have talked enough about this first attributes of Ibadur Rahman. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَ. The ones who walk on the earth humbly. The verse continues, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when the ignorant address them, they answer peace. This is the second attribute. This is patience and forbearance, as the Holy Quran says. This peace is the sign of heedlessness, which is along with nobility and greatness. And it is not because of weakness. It is the peace that is the reason of lack of retaliation against the ignorant. This peace is used to say farewell to their senseless words. This peace is not a greeting, which is the sign of kindness and friendship. It is the peace that is just the sign of patience and greatness. So one of the great spiritual phenomena of these Ibadur Rahman is their patience and forbearance, without which no man can pave the fluctuating path of Almighty Allah's servitude and bondage. You can consider especially when living in societies in which there are lots of corrupted, ignorant, and wicked people, what would you do in answer to them? You need patience and forbearance. This is what the Holy Quran is suggesting. So Islam is so complete and comprehensive that has plans even for how you walk on the earth and how you answer the ignorant ones. It is because your belief and your faith will affect how you behave in the society. Ibadur Rahman, and as a result, since you are the servants of the beneficent, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ, the ones who walk on the earth humbly, and as a result of being Ibadur Rahman, you tell, in answer to these faithless ones and these ignorant ones. Salama, you answer peace. And this is because of your faith, not because you're fearful of them. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Ukraine on Fire, Part 1.
Here in Kiev in recent days, the Maidan, Independence Square, has turned into a full-scale war zone.
More clashes in Ukraine's capital, Kiev.
There is absolutely no doubt that snipers are working here. I've counted 10 bodies.
Now on the brink of a civil war, at least 70 dead so far, and the death toll rising.
What we saw here today was a revolution.
We've invested over $5 billion to assist Ukraine in these and other goals.
NATO has expanded into 13 countries, up to the borders of Russia. 13 countries.
The focus has to be on not allowing this crisis to turn into hot war between Ukraine and Russia.
Ukraine. It's an ancient and proud land with a rich history filled with much beauty, heroism, and sacrifice. Ukraine is a borderland, a place where east meets west. This is the flag of Ukraine. The blue represents the sky. The gold, its seemingly endless fields of wheat. Ukraine is a prize many have sought, and much blood has spilled in the quest to possess it. Ukraine has been the pathway for Western powers as they attempted to conquer the East in World War I and World War II. And every time, the Ukrainian people ended up paying the highest price for these grand games of power. History doesn't repeat, but it surely rhymes, said Mark Twain. If one looks closely at the history of Ukraine, one will notice many rhymes. Being surrounded by stronger powers, Ukraine has needed a lot of cunning to survive, and the art they truly mastered with time is the art of changing sides. In the middle of the 17th century, Ukrainian leader Bogdan Khmelnytsky broke a truce agreement made with Poland, siding with more powerful Russia. Just over 50 years later, as the Russian-Swedish War was raging, another Ukrainian leader, Ivan Mazepa, broke the union with Russia when he switched sides, joining forces with the Swedish invaders. Many times, Ukrainian history was written by third parties. Seeking to keep the gains of a revolution at any cost, Russia agreed to the humiliating conditions of the Brest-Litovsk Treaty of 1918, which turned Ukraine into a German protectorate. Another historical document that changed the fate of Ukraine was the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact of 1939, one of many such agreements being signed between European countries and rising Germany. Attempting to protect his nation from the approaching Nazi threat, Joseph Stalin negotiated a treaty of non-aggression with Adolf Hitler. While promising each other peace, the Soviet and German foreign ministers Molotov and Ribbentrop realigned the map of Eastern Europe, splitting it into German and Soviet spheres of influence. No sooner had the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact been signed than Poland was split. And in September of 1939, Eastern Poland awoke to be Western Ukraine and a part of the family of Soviet republics and the USSR. But even this bold dividing of lands and nations only delayed the inevitable. Germany broke its promise to the USSR. On June 22, 1941, Germany invaded the USSR, launching Barbarossa, the largest military operation in world history. Barbarossa was aiming for St. Petersburg, Moscow, and Kiev, Ukraine, three destinations of major significance. Ukraine, with its rich lands and resources, was an important industrial and economic source for the USSR. To cut it off from the Soviet Union would strike a big blow indeed. For most of the Soviet Union, the Second World War was about fighting the invaders of their land. But it wasn't quite so simple for Ukraine. The truth is, Ukraine has never been a united country. When World War II broke out, a large part of Western Ukraine's population welcomed the German soldiers as liberators from the recently forced upon them Soviet rule and openly collaborated with the Germans. The real scale of collaboration was not announced for many years after the war, but we now know that whole divisions and battalions were formed by Ukrainian collaborators, such as SS Galician, Noctigal, and Roland battalions. Just in the beginning of the war, more than 80,000 people from Galicina region voluntarily enrolled into Division SS Galician in a month and a half, notorious for their extreme cruelty towards the Polish, Jewish, and Russian people on the territory of Ukraine. Members of these military groups came mostly from the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, the OUN, founded in 1929. This organization had an ultimate goal of creating an ethnically pure, independent Ukraine, and considered terror an acceptable tool for achieving their ends. Their official flag was black and red, land and blood. It will remain in Ukraine's history long after the OUN will cease to exist. In early 1940, the most radical nationalistic part of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists got its own leader, Stepan Bandera. Severely anti-Semitic and anti-communist, he proclaimed an independent Ukraine in 1941. His German allies frowned upon such an act of self-will, and it landed him in prison for nearly all the Second World War. Not participating in the events physically, Bandera still managed to successfully spread his ideology. Many independent historians estimate that the OUN militia exterminated from 150 to 200,000 Jews on Ukrainian territory occupied by the Germans by the end of 1941. The most notorious and outrageous massacre took place September 29th and 30th, 1941, in Babi Yar, Kiev. All kikes of the city of Kiev and its vicinity must appear on Monday, September 29th, by 8 o'clock in the morning. Bring documents, money, and valuables, and also warm clothing, linen, etc. Any kikes who do not follow this order and are found elsewhere will be shot. 33,771 Jews were killed in this two-day operation of the Nazis and Ukrainian militia. Another outrageous massacre was carried out by the Ukrainian Insurgent Army and the Bandera faction of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists in German-occupied Polish Volhynia and eastern Galicia between 1943 and 1944. This genocide of Poles was led by Mykola Lebed. 35,000 to 60,000 people in Volhynia and 25 to 40,000 in eastern Galicia fell victim to this massive ethnic cleansing operation. Sensing the inevitable loss of the German troops, the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists gave up on their former ally and began fighting equally against the Germans and the Soviet forces. In January 1943, USSR troops started pushing the Nazis back, liberating one part of Ukraine after another. Western Ukraine was the last Ukrainian region held by the Germans, finally being liberated in October of 1944. Bandera's bands continued to wage their guerrilla war against the Soviet regime, carrying out bloody raids on Ukrainian villages and towns, and leaving behind chaos and casualties. This war went on until the middle of the 1950s, when the last collaborators were either detained or fled the country. On May 7, 1945, Germany unconditionally surrendered to the Allies. Ukraine remained a part of the Soviet Union. The peace after the Second World War was short-lived. The United States and the Soviet Union, nations who allied together along with England to defeat the Nazis, tragically became foes as the Cold War began. The era of political and military tension between the U.S. and the USSR lasted for nearly 45 years, keeping humanity under the constant threat of nuclear war. In this battle, the United States never lost sight of Ukraine's importance. U.S. intelligence kept a close eye on Ukrainian nationalist organizations as a possible source of counterintelligence against the Soviet Union. CIA documents that just recently have been declassified show strong ties between U.S. intelligence and Ukrainian nationalists since 1946. From the CIA agency report, it is clear that they were not mistaken about the nature of Ukrainian nationalist organizations or their leader, Stepan Bandera himself. According to an OSS report of September 1945, Bandera had earned a fierce reputation for conducting a reign of terror during World War II. After the Second World War, Bandera and other Ukrainian Nazi leaders fled to Europe where the CIA helped them hide. The CIA later informed the Immigration and Naturalization Service that it had concealed Stepan Bandera and other Ukrainians from the Soviets. The operations involving Ukrainians continued for many years. The Nuremberg trials of 1945 and 1946 brought the political, economic, and military leaders of fascist Germany to justice and revealed to the world the monstrous face of Nazism and the crimes they committed. But the Ukrainian Nazis were spared the same fate, and some were even granted indulgences by the CIA. By 1954, the agency excused the illegal activities of the OUN security branch in the name of Cold War necessity. In 1949, Mykola Lebed, the man responsible for the massacres in Volhynia, was moved to the United States, where he died in 1989 without ever being investigated or pursued as a war criminal. The CIA moved to protect Ukrainian nationalist leader Mykola Lebed from criminal investigation by the Immigration and Naturalization Service in 1952. Perhaps Bandera lost his use to the U.S., or maybe KGB agents outsmarted the CIA. But in 1959, Stepan Bandera, the leader of the Ukrainian nationalists, was killed in Munich, where he was hiding under the name of Stefan Popel. It would be fair to say that Bandera became a major symbol of Ukrainian nationalism by sheer chance, for he was neither its only leader nor its most powerful one. Dmytro Dontsov was the father of the far-right totalitarian doctrine in Ukraine. Andriy Melnyk was the leader of another faction of the OUN. Roman Shuhevich was a general of the Ukrainian insurgent army, and others contributed greatly to the movement. Bandera's dangerous ideology, suppressed by the communist authorities, but supported by external forces, never really died. The seeds of Ukrainian nationalism were passed from generation to generation. Unfortunately, it was just a matter of time before they would once again blossom. In 1954, Ukraine's territory was expanded even more when Nikita Khrushchev, the leader of the USSR and a Ukrainian himself, generously gave the Crimean region to Ukraine. Historians would argue about the legitimacy of this transfer for many years to come, and 60 years after Khrushchev's gift, dramatic new events would take place in Crimea.
The eyes of the world are on Ukraine as the crisis in Crimea continues.
Dozens of heavily armed men seized government buildings in Crimea.
Should Ukraine just shrug its shoulders and say, okay, Crimea, it's lost?
And the old arguments would heat up once again. The Cold War would heat up and cool down by turns, while both rivals were obsessively building up military capacity. The turning point took place when the new era, Perestroika, came to the USSR with its new leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, in the middle of the 1980s. Perestroika meant restructuring towards liberalization and democratization. It certainly had a positive impact on the international situation.
Astonishing news from East Germany, where the East German authorities have said, in essence, that the Berlin Wall doesn't mean anything anymore.
But inside the USSR, the weakening of Kremlin control had different consequences. In Ukraine, a nationalistic political organization, Narodny Rukh, or People's Movement, emerged in 1989 due to this new openness. They advocated for independence of Ukraine from the USSR and became an incubator for leaders of Ukrainian neo-Nazism. In 1991, one of them, Oleg Tyagnibok, founded Svoboda, an openly radical nationalist party preaching the good old principles of Bandera. Purge Ukraine from the Jews and Russians, Ukraine for Ukrainians, and so on. His statements got him fifth place in the Simon Wiesenthal Center Top 10 Anti-Semitic World Leader Rankings of 2012, but also, sadly, attracted numerous followers. Dmitry Yarosh founded another extreme right organization, TRIZU, or Trident, in 1994. In April 2013, Yarosh became an assistant to a member of parliament from the opposition party UDAR. Later that same year, he would become the leader of the most radical Ukrainian Nazi group, the Right Sector. Andriy Paruby would soon appear leading a whole army of ultra-nationalist warriors. And the torch marches would once again light up the streets of Ukrainian cities. The world drastically changed in August 1991, when the USSR de facto ceased to exist and the global political map welcomed many newcomers, Ukraine one of them. In modern history, it was the first time Ukraine was truly independent and all on its own.
The red flag came down over the Kremlin tonight as President Gorbachev resigned and brought to an end 7 decades of communist rule in the Soviet Union.
The years after the disintegration of the USSR became known as the Crazy 90s in all the post-Soviet territories.
He's leaving behind 15 independent states which share only a disastrous economy and an uncertain future.
After having been under a government-controlled economy, the free market dramatically changed the rules of the game. New businesses emerged instantly, and the first oligarchs were born overnight. The former country with no class division suddenly became stratified. The chosen few became rich, while the rest had to fight to survive. The people's growing discontent made Ukraine more vulnerable to outside forces, and a new kind of warfare was launched, one not known before, the color revolutions.
Demonstrators clash with police, hundreds of thousands protesting the results of the election and calling for a new vote.
Ukraine has had two color revolutions in its 24 years of independence. In 2004, crowds of people descended upon Kiev, marking the start of the Orange Revolution. At that time, Ukraine became once again a battlefield of two forces, the Russian and Western governments. The culmination of this conflict took place during the presidential elections in November of 2004. The two major candidates, Western-backed Viktor Yushchenko and Russian-leaning Viktor Yanukovych, almost equally shared the votes of Ukrainians. By the way, calling Viktor Yushchenko Western-backed is not an exaggeration. His wife, Katerina Yushchenko, is a former U.S. State Department official and worked in the White House during the Reagan administration. The division was along geographic lines. Traditionally, Russian Eastern Ukraine voted for Yanukovych, while Western Ukraine chose Yushchenko. By the announced result, Viktor Yushchenko lost to Viktor Yanukovych, but thousands of people didn't agree with it, and they came to the central square of Kiev on the 22nd of November. The situation received wide news coverage.
The country's election commission ignored reports of fraud, declaring Kremlin-backed Viktor Yanukovych the winner.
International politicians, such as former General Secretary of NATO, Javier Solana, became frequent guests in Kiev, initiating negotiations between parties.
And I hope very much that with the will of everybody, we will be able to overcome this difficulty.
The results of the negotiations, however, were often reached only on paper. Thus, Yushchenko never told the supporters to stop blocking government buildings in central Kiev. Therefore, these non-violent and very orange protests lasted for a month, during which time the previous election results were annulled, marred by massive corruption, and new elections were announced. An important nuance, just 3 months before, Viktor Yushchenko became a victim to a mysterious and still unsolved poisoning. But it didn't prevent him from winning in the new election. Though, as we shall soon see, there was much more than just the people's will that led to this victory. This peaceful revolution and its leader were warmly welcomed by the international community. But the euphoria didn't last long. Yushchenko's government completely failed with reforms and lost its chance to establish democracy, instead descending into infighting. Viktor Yushchenko was not re-elected for a second term, but at the end of his presidency, he had the time to make one last gift to his supporters from Western Ukraine. The hero status of Stepan Bandera was short-lived. In 2010, Viktor Yanukovych was elected president. This time, the international community had no doubts about the legitimacy of the elections. In January 2011, Viktor Yanukovych repealed the hero title of Bandera. Almost 4 years into his presidency, though, another revolution shook Ukraine. Unfortunately, this one was anything but peaceful.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and you're hearing me from the Viewpoints, in which we shall discuss some very controversial issues. Without further ado, I'd plunge into the heart of discussion. But before that, I would like our dear guests to introduce themselves to us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I'm Ali. Thanks for inviting me to your show.
The pleasure is all mine. And you?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I am Ruhullah Rouhani, and it's a pleasure to be in the service of you, inshallah, in this gathering.
Yes, and I'm glad to have you here. Well, death and the world surrounding it has always been...